Good afternoon. About this time, just to be different, we start at the end and work backwards. Solomon said at the close of a long passage that the sole duty of man was to obey God, to follow as God leads. That's how he closed the book we know as Ecclesiastes, which just means the preacher, or as the NIV puts it, the teacher. It's a book that traditionally has been read, at least by the Jews, around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And for some people, it's hard to connect a book that appears to be largely negative with a very joyous feast. But let me give you two brief insights into that quandary from the New Bible Commentary before I continue with the subject about what this book tells us about the feast. The commentary says that the word translated, the preacher, is connected with the public assembly, the world at large, so to speak, and it suggests the kind of wisdom delivered by the speaker to those in the outer court, as opposed to those, or is distinguished rather, from the hidden wisdom which is known only to those who have been admitted to the mystery of God, which references 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. The author is meeting the people on their own ground, on a carnal ground, and proceeds to convict them of the world's inherent vanity. It was as though the writer was inspired to anticipate the thrust of the secular movement that we see holding our modern world by its collective neck. And so he was pointing out that without God, there is nothing. If there is no God, everything is meaningless. And that even with God, not to excuse the religionists, if this life is lived only for itself and not keeping an eye on its ultimate purposes, you still end up unhappy and unfulfilled. Solomon points out in many ways in that book that only with a vital relationship with God, only by seeing what lies beyond today, is there any purpose to life. And one major theme of that book, connected absolutely to the Feast of Tabernacles, is the concept of the vanity of life, which means the temporary nature of it. Everything ends. And so contained in the very name of the Feast of Booths, I have to be careful how I say that, the Feast of Booths, of temporary dwellings, is the emphasis that this life, this time, our lives and everything they contain is only for a moment, and eternity lies beyond. The focus of the feast isn't just about having a good time or picturing the millennial reign of Christ, both of which are very much a part of it and are meant to be. But the focus begins, starting in the Old Testament and continuing today, with the idea of a temporary dwelling. Not the hotels and condos you'll stay in. Instead, this shell that you inhabit, our frail temporary bodies, these things that are failing, and with every heartbeat are counting down to the final moment that we have in this life, this physical life and time. That's what Solomon was focusing on. And it's an intrinsic part of the Feast of Tabernacles, because we are temporary dwellings. So with that in mind, we should be able to better keep the focus of our hearts on God and his kingdom, on the future that'll come when Christ returns to this earth. And for as long as we live this life, this viewpoint should help us keep our hearts on godly values and principles, so that this life, this world, this age, could never carry us away and turn us from God, from the things that really matter. Interestingly enough, and almost seems like an aside, Jesus said many times that he would come as a thief in the night. Remember, oddly enough, he was saying this to his own disciples. But since he also included a warning about all the events that lead up to his coming, How could he have said it would be unexpected that he'd come as a thief? Understandably, it can sneak up on the world in general. They're not looking for it anyway. But why would he say that to us? Unless, like Solomon, he was warning that our lives can end at any time. You're alive 1 minute and dead the next. And that is whenever God allows it. And you may not be prepared. It may, in fact, come exactly as a thief of the night, as a total surprise. So the warning, of course, is always to live our lives with God at our side, not pushed off into some corner, but to build a vital working relationship with our Father in heaven. Because your end is coming, and perhaps when you least expect it. So the Bible always cautions, be ready. But how to do that without becoming obsessed with the possibility of dying and therefore living each day in a serious state of depression? That's obviously not what God wants, or he wouldn't have put so many statements in his book that tell us to always rejoice and be of good cheer. Even Solomon in Ecclesiastes emphasizes over and over the need, even in the midst of a vain life, to step back and appreciate the moment, to look for the good things you're given and to allow them to cheer your life, to enjoy what relationships you have while you have them. And he underlined the fact that all these things are a gift from God. Actor James Dean, who is not really a source I'd think of quoting, once said that you should plan your life as though you'll live forever, but live it as though you'll die today. And viewed from the right angle, that quote is exactly on target. It's exactly what God tells us to do. Throughout Ecclesiastes, Solomon ran a point and a counterpoint of how our lives should be lived. In chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, he says, "It's a wonderful thing to be alive. If a person lives to be very old, let him rejoice in every day of his life, but let him also remember that eternity is far longer and that everything down here is futile in comparison." Then in verses 9 and 10, he said again, balancing the scales on the subject, "Young man, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do all you want to. Take in everything. But," and this is a big pause for thought, "but realize that you must account to God for everything you do. So banish grief and pain," in other words, the careless choices that cause grief and pain, "but remember that youth, with a whole life before it, can make serious mistakes." Thus he says in chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember your Creator." And the New Bible Commentary adds to that, "It's to be noted how the preacher shows his hand here. The prospect of age and death yields him not, remember you must die, but rather remember your Creator." So he blends a lot of caution with a lot of encouragement. And coupled to the feast, it gives us a perfect perspective, something I hope we're wise enough to dwell on during this year's celebration. When the Feast of Tabernacles is described in the Old Testament and alluded to in the New, it's clearly meant to be a time of rejoicing, a time of relaxation, recuperation from the past year, whatever you've been going through. I'll be seeing some old friends from California in Bend this year, some people I haven't kept the feast with in more years than I care to count. And we're going to enjoy the time we have. That's a big part of the whole purpose. But I hope we'll all remember that when we keep the feast, when we talk about or think about the world to come, the return of Christ, and what lies ahead for us beyond this life, we're actually affirming all the purposes of the feast, that went before. If we're living for a world and a life that's yet to be, then we're acknowledging that this life, this time, is not forever, will end, and was meant to end, and should never be lived for more than what it is, a time of preparation for what's coming. Then we can better understand Paul's statement in Philippians 1 and verse 21, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our purpose of living today is to build our relationships with God and with each other. And death only brings the many struggles of this life to an end, and will someday release us to something so much greater that the human mind can't really conceive of it. So, following Solomon's lead, the feast gives us an incredible chance, even in the midst of a vain life, to step back and appreciate the moment, to appreciate what it means and what all of this is bringing us to. So we've come full circle. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the future and therefore reminds us, as Solomon did in Ecclesiastes, that this life is not about this life. We may in this lifetime experience a great many wonderful things. We may be given an opportunity to accomplish many good things along the way. Or we may have a life of nothing but hardship and great loss. But all of it, either way, is only temporary. Never meant to be an end in itself, and never meant to be the focus of our hearts. We are only temporary dwellings. And as you keep the feast this year, allow it to remind you that all that really matters is the life that's yet to come.